Today's message is based on the gospel reading for today, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is in the city of Caesarea Philippi, and he's with his disciples, and he has some important messages, some important lessons to teach his disciples. What I'm going to do today is challenge you to look at this passage a little differently, maybe, than give you a little different perspective of this passage than maybe you've had in the past. Because sometimes we get the idea that the church is this place that we just kind of huddle in while the rest of the world kind of bangs on the church doors trying to upset and turn over and destroy the church. What I'm going to do today is turn that around. I'm going to turn that around because what I want you to see today is that what Jesus is saying here is this. We're the ones who are supposed to be banging on the doors of hell. We're supposed to be tearing down the gates of hell. I see some of you kind of, is he serious about this? The answer is yes. I'm serious. The disciples have been with Jesus now 2 years, a little over 2 years. And Jesus comes into this district of Caesarea Philippi. Now we have to kind of set the scene here. Because Caesarea Philippi was a noted pagan environment. Jesus, with his disciples, is standing down. Now, it doesn't say exactly where Jesus is standing. But maybe he's overlooking that area. And what he and the disciples are seeing is this gigantic cliff, this cliff face, if you will, that's over 100 feet high. Some have estimated at the time it was more like a couple hundred feet high and probably a mile wide, and it's sitting at the base of Mount Hermon. Now, Mount Hermon is only a couple thousand feet shorter than Mount Hood. So Mount Hermon is a pretty impressive mountain. Jesus and the disciples are also seeing all of these carvings in the side, in the cliff face of the rock. They're carvings to other gods, to the pagan gods of that culture. Pan being one of them. And of course, Pan was the god of hedonism. You can take everything, every immoral act in our society today, and that's what the god Pan stood for those people back then. At the base of this cliff was a huge temple complex. And it was there that people would go to worship their pagan gods. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the fact that this huge temple complex, that in the middle of it is this huge cave entrance, and out of the cave entrance flows this huge body of water. And it's a huge body of water, a river. And the pagans believed that that spring that fed that river to be bottomless. And so that cave entrance there became known as the gate of hell, or Hades, as we call it today and as is recorded in Scripture. So that's the setting. Jesus is in the middle of a pagan environment that looks impressive and massive. huge complex. And we have to see what follows next in that context. First of all, Jesus said, who do people say I am? Who are these people? What are they talking about when they mention my name? What about the other people that you know? What are they saying about me? Well, some say you are this and that and prophets and so on and so forth. Okay? You do a poll of our culture today, what do you get? Kind of the same thing, right? Kind of the same thing. But Jesus asked this question. The next one was what? What's the next question? Who do you say that I am? Yeah, who do you say that I am? Because that's the most important question that he asks. Who do you say I am? Because, you see, what you believe about this Christ is absolutely, vitally important. Now, we all know that. How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime that have all talked about the importance of knowing Jesus as the Son of God and Messiah? Because we know that when we are connected to Him by faith, we are indeed blessed, aren't we? Just as Jesus said to Simon Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. However, this didn't come out of you. This is not your opinion. The Father revealed that to you. You know this only because God has visited you. The Holy Spirit has visited you and given you the insight to see who I really am. Now, did Peter automatically, kind of magically change from that point on and he was just this great disciple after that? I don't think so. Peter went on to deny Jesus, doesn't he? Yeah. We are blessed too because the Holy Spirit has revealed to us who Jesus is. And because we are connected to Him by faith, not only do we get to enjoy this community with one another, but you see, this community takes on a whole nother dimension, doesn't it? Because this community is not just for today, but forever. Because it's in this community that our sins have been forgiven. It's in this community that has been baptized into the death of Christ. And it's this community that has been raised just as Christ was raised from the dead. And it's this community that will dwell together for eternity with Christ in our midst. What a wonderful thing for us to consider. Is it any wonder that Jesus calls us blessed? Because we know these things? And not just because we know them, but because God has revealed them to us. He revealed them to us. How much more privileged can we be as a people? Jesus then says something to the disciples that I'm sure caused them to scratch their heads a bit. Because he says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now again, we have to take a look at what Jesus is talking about here and what he's using as an illustration. This is a solid rock with idols carved into its face. A rock that is formidable, solid. Now, you also have to get here that it was the custom of civilizations back then, when one civilization conquered another, they would level that city to the ground. And then they would build their city over the top of it. You go into the Holy Land today, and that's what you see. They're called tells. And there are several layers of cities that go all the way down to the city that first got started there, or that was first built. And one was leveled, and another was built over the top, and that was leveled, and another one was built over the top. So you start getting the picture of what Jesus is trying to communicate here. Over this rock, I will build my church. In other words, what he's saying is that this is all going to be torn down. This is no longer going to exist. And I'm going to build my community. That's what that word church is about. Ekklesia, the Greek word ekklesia, means community. His community, that's you and me, he's going to build that over the top. In other words, we are the conquering army that goes in, destroys the pagan city, and we build a new city over the top. Now, of course, the disciples are looking at that and they're trying to figure out how they're going to do that. Because they have no power, right? They don't have any power. They're just 12 guys. And here's Jesus. He advocates nonviolence. How in the world is he going to overtake something like this? They probably thought it an impossible task. And then he says something that is really interesting. He says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now again, remember what I said to you about that being Noah, that huge cave entrance, probably six times this size of this up here, and out of it, out of Hades itself, flowing this huge river from this bottomless well or bottomless spring. And he's saying, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, like I said before, we often have that idea that somehow it's the gates of Hades that's taken the offensive and is coming to storm the church. And so we sit huddled back here in the safety of our buildings while the world beats on the door trying to tear it down. Or we think that our faith is such a private thing that we have to defend it at all costs because the world is trying to tear us apart. But what Jesus is saying here is this. The gates of Hades will not withstand the onslaught of the church. Will not withstand. In other words, Jesus is talking about the church as a conquering army going to this city of the world and changing that world. Changing the world. Tearing down the old and building over the top a new city. A city that glorifies Christ. A city that proclaims the glory and majesty of God. That's what Jesus is talking about here. we are to take the offensive. That's what Jesus does. Didn't Jesus do that? He doesn't wait for them, for that pagan bunch of people to come to him. He goes to them. And he tells his disciples the same thing, that they're going to be his community to overcome the world. And Jesus comes to that mouth of hell. And because Jesus is the Son of God, we know that when he speaks the word, he's going to accomplish that word, isn't he? Because the word of Christ is a creative word. He doesn't speak idle words. He says, the gates of hell will not prevail against this, the onslaught of the church. Jesus talks about how that's going to happen. He indicates how this assault's going to take place, because immediately after this, he talks of his impending death and resurrection. The conquering of the world does not happen with guns and bullets and bombs and all of that sort of thing. Jesus is conquering the gates of hell, is breaking down the gates of hell as he silently suffers, as he dies on a cross, and as he rises again to new life. It's a radically different way of looking at this whole lesson that Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples. Jesus comes to assault the powers of hell itself. And he has assaulted those powers in us. Because we didn't come first to the Holy Spirit, did he? Did we? None of us did. For many of us, we were brought here before we could even do anything, before we could even talk. And it was God then, through the waters of holy baptism, that assaulted the powers of hell within us. As he tears down that old sinful self and creates within us a new self. That new self which now is oriented toward God and toward his Christ. And as we come forward to receive the Lord's Supper, he gives us himself again in the bread and wine. Jesus comes to us, and he is the one who has assaulted the power of evil within us. He is the one who has broken down the gates of Hades within each and every one of us and within the community. And now he says he's giving us the keys of the kingdom. What are those keys? But the blood and righteousness of Jesus. You see, those are the keys of the kingdom. Those are the things that enable us to be a part of the kingdom. The blood and the righteousness of Jesus. And he says, those keys now are given to you and I, so that we now may be able to carry on this assault against the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, in our culture today. Because isn't that what Jesus is calling us to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. Not sitting here in this place on just a Sunday morning and taking it home with us. He's asking us to assault the powers of hell in this world, and to begin through our acts of compassion and kindness, as we develop relationships with people, as we are given opportunities to share the word of Christ and the joy of Christ with others. You see, that's how we begin to tear down the gates of hell. And we start building over the top of that wretchedness and that pain and torture of hell. We build over the top of that the city of light, the city of God. What a privilege that is for us, don't you think? It seems a daunting task, doesn't it? It seems like trying to assault the powers of the world is like, we think sometimes, like the disciples once thought about the impossibility of the task. But you see, we don't do this alone. The Son of God is in our midst. He's the one who is leading us. He is the one who directs us. It's His Spirit that moves and motivates us and places within us the same love that Jesus has for the whole world, the world that He died to save, the world that needs Him like they need nothing else. And so, like any good army, we want to eliminate all those things that hamper that task, and to develop those things that enhance the task. For you, I don't know what that is. Because certainly, it's demonstrating love toward one another. As the words of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to love as to be loved, or to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. The question that remains is the how you're going to do that as a community. Especially now that you are in this transitional period. You're looking toward the future and what that future is going to bring. But remember that whatever you do, and however you do it, you are called to break down the gates of Hades. You are called to somehow impact your culture, this culture around here, in a way that will enable people to hear the word of God and to give praise and thanks to God for the salvation that He has brought into the world. And how you do that may be unique to this congregation, because you know the people here better than anyone else. And you know what's needed here more than anyone else. I hope that in your future conversations, you will stand with Jesus like His disciples did at the base of that huge cliff, overlooking that pagan temple, and hear those words of Jesus. I give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. And you will work with me to break down the gates of hell. May God grant this for you and for us and for the whole Christian community, that together we might honor and praise our living Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.